Amen, amen. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Amen. We are going into lesson 2. And beside this. Amen. And I'll give you my title here in just a few moments, but we're looking into this. And beside this. 2 Peter chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant of an apostle of Jesus and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And we'll stop right there. Amen. Praise God. And we're talking, amen, lesson 2. I want to talk about like precious faith. Amen. Like precious faith. Praise God. Would you just help me pray here tonight? Heavenly Father, we want your perfect and divine will to be done. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated here tonight. Last week, we began this new series, and we set the foundation thereof, and we talked about that Peter is writing this epistle, and he is writing to them who have obtained a like precious faith, and that he was praying that grace and peace would be multiplied unto them through the knowledge of God. And it is through the knowledge of him that his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And after addressing this important part of the Christian life, Peter states, and beside this, we talked about how that this Greek word or this phrase is used here only occurs here, and it simply means bringing something in to be placed by the side of something else. And we know that that something else is this like precious faith. And so it was as he was saying, you have obtained this like precious faith, a faith that is nourished by exceeding and a great promise. And you need to be diligent to continue to add to it. And you need to give all diligence. Or in other words, you need to make every effort. You need to be zealous about it. You need to be energetic about it. You have obtained this. You need to give every effort. You need to give diligence to add to your precious faith. I want you to note that this is nothing new to the Christian faith because there have been several examples throughout the scripture already of things that the Christian needs to do after experiencing the new birth. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hopefully you don't want me to preach like you respond. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. But in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, Paul says that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And we'll speak a little bit more about that in a moment. But in Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 12, Paul told the church there to put on, therefore. Peter said to add to. And so we are admonished to work out, to add to, and to put on, therefore. And so there is nothing about the Christian life
amen, that enables us just to sit back and to take it easy through life. Amen. And that's not just that you're going to fight the devil and when the devil comes around that you need to fight him, but you need to work upon your Christian supplements. You need to work upon these things. You need to work out your faith. You need to put on the whole armor of God. You need to add to your faith and do these things. Praise God. And so he tells us here in 2 Peter that we are to add to our faith. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that precious faith here tonight. And that faith is the root form which all of the succeeding graces that we have flows from. It is the root that produces the fruit. It is the root that produces other things. And so it is necessary to have your faith established, to work out your faith, and to add to your faith. Faith is an act which brings the reason and the will and the emotions and the conscience and the knowledge and the goodness into humble submission to God. And we're going to understand that here in just a moment. But faith is the infant stage of an individual's Christian walk. It's just the beginning. It's not something that we look to obtain and then that we can get off and set back. But faith is the beginning of it all that we begin to add unto. And in this series here today and through the course of all of this, I want you to note that that this verse and these series of verses is not meant to be in any particular order, that we are to endeavor particularly to add things one to another in the order which they are specified. But really the importance is that we are to strive to possess and to exhibit all of the supplements and are to cultivate them all with diligence. And it's not that we should be satisfied, that when we are satisfied with one of these supplements that we should look to move on and begin to add that unto our faith. Only when we feel that we have sufficed it, or we have obtained, or that we have gotten a sufficient measure and such, because chances are you're not going to make it. And there is something about when something seems unobtainable that most people just simply stop working to that. But I want you to get the understanding tonight that it's not that I'm working on faith and that when I feel like my faith is sufficient, then I'm going to step and work on some virtue. And then when I get to the place that virtue, amen, is to the place that I feel like it, and then I'm going to start adding a little bit of knowledge to that. And that's going to take me a long time. But no, all of these things ought to be working inside of our lives. All of these things ought to be prevalent, ought to be visible inside of our lives. There's two of them that are there for the relationship between us and God, and the others that are there are for our relationship one with another. And it is very necessary that we have these. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more here in this lesson tonight. Praise God. But rather it is that we must possess a diligent effort to cultivate all of these supplements. And there should be progress that is made from one to another and seeking the highest possible point of each that is being applied to our lives, but not necessarily in a specific order. We need to add all of these things to our light, precious faith. Amen. And finally, there should be an accumulation of knowledge and wisdom and application of each of these within our lives as it all is diligently added to our faith. And the spiritual life that we have begins to prosper and to grow. And when it prospers and it grows, it begins to put on fruit. Amen. And the fruit that is there, amen, makes us known unto others. Amen. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, when they see the fruit, when they see your love one towards another. Amen. You're going to produce fruit. Praise God. And so tonight we just simply ask the question, what is faith? I want to tell you that we all have an amount of faith. For the Bible says in Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I want you to know that faith is not just only in the Christian individual. Amen. But it is in the Christian. It is the beginning of application to apply faith unto God. Amen. You use faith each and every day that you live. When you put the key in your vehicle and turn it to start it, you've got faith that it's going to start. Amen. Sometimes you have great faith. Sometimes you have little faith. Amen. But when you walk into your house and you flip the light on, you've got faith that the lights are coming on, unless you didn't pay your electric bill. Amen. When you push the buttons on your microwave and you push start, you've got faith that it's going to start. Amen. When you get up in the morning time and go to your closet to choose your clothes, you got faith that they're still going to be there. And you exemplify faith, or you show forth, you manifest faith each and every day that you live. And you have great faith in all of these things. You have faith that when you pick your phone up, it's going to work. Some of you say, no, I don't. Amen. You got faith, amen, that when you dial a number, it's going to be connected. You got faith that when you put the car in drive, it's going forward. And if you turn left, it's turning left. Amen. You got faith in all of these things in life. I think it's time to go back to having faith in God. Praise God. And I just say that life has become so easy, amen, and at the tip of our fingers, that many times we don't have to have faith in God. We no longer live in a generation where if the chickens stop laying eggs, we prayed for them because we believe that God would do it. And if the car wouldn't start, we would pray for it, amen, because we believe that God could do that. Amen. And if the cow wasn't given milk, we prayed for them because we believe that God would do that. And it was each and everything. When somebody was sick, we actually prayed for them so that they would get better. Amen. Because there was no thing as called or such as insurance that was so readily available. But today we've got so many things in our lives, even considering our own jobs and the money that is coming in. And we don't have to live by faith from paycheck to paycheck. And God has been good to us. And all of these other things in life has been good to us, and now God has been pushed on into the back burner. But I would that this church would get a firm revelation of what faith really is, and I wish that we would get a healthy dose of what faith really is, and I wish that it would get to the place that instead of looking for doctors and insurances and all of these other things, though they are good and they have their place and there's nothing wrong with having them, I'm going to seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm going to love God with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. Before I give away my emotions, I'm going to God. Before I do things like all the, I'm going to God. God is going to be the foremost in every area of my life. Oh, let's magnify him here today. Oh, hallelujah. What's wrong with waking up and beginning to thank God for all of the things that he has done for you? You don't have to live paycheck to paycheck because God has been good to you. You don't have to worry about the car starting every time you turn because God has been good to you. You don't have to worry about unpaid medical bills because God has been good to you. You don't have to worry about whether there's going to be food on the table because God has been good to you. You don't have have to worry about having just one set of clothes because God has been good to you. Don't let the goodness of God drive you away from having faith in God. Put your faith in God and let Him work it all out. Faith does not need to be. I'm not saying that it won't be. But faith ought not to be a buffet item. If it's a buffet item, then do you really have faith? Well, I'll have faith in this, but I don't know if I can have faith in this. You got to walk by faith. You got to walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so, yeah, you know what? It's easy to have faith when you got to... when you got a newer vehicle and you're not driving some old vehicle that backfires and has four of those real nice white walled tires called Maypops. Yeah. Amen. You're driving on faith instead of rubber. Yeah. I remember one time driving to church back when I was living at home and driving to church, and we were driving a rather long ways to get to church, but we had one blowout on the way to church, and we got out and got that fixed, put the spare on, and before we got there, amen, we had another one that was starting to throw rubber. And so if you know that sound, you know, and you start hearing it, whop, 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 you slow down. You don't want that centrifugal force just throwing it all off. You slow down and you baby it and such. So, you know, back then it took faith. You know what? Oh, Jesus, keep your hand upon these tires. Oh, Jesus, keep your hand upon us. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the truth of the matter. Some of you have no earthly idea what we're talking about here tonight, but that's the truth of the matter. It really is. It's the truth of the matter. I'm talking about, you know, I don't know how many times I've had to do this. And some of you are coming out, amen, from the I don't want to say the dregs of society, but you're coming off of the bottom floors and God has been good to you, amen. But I don't remember the last time that I went to the gas station and just said, you know, just looked at it and said, well, I got $10. I'm going to put $10 in because that's all I got. Typically, you know, we go to the gas station and just fill it up. We complain about it. I didn't say you didn't complain about it, but we complain about it. My God, look at that price. I thought Trump said he was going to get gas to come down. You know, Brother Carrick and I, we've been kind of having a conversation about this, and, you know, I'm not saying it's worth it at this point in time yet and stuff, but my Lord, Hutchinson has gas for $2.41, and I'm still over here in Augusta paying $2.99, $2.97. It's like, man, I ought to take a trip just to Hutchinson just so I can get some gas. Come back and be a little bit further ahead. Amen. Praise God. But you know what? You know what? God's been good to us. God has been good to us. And the Bible teaches us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You ought to be cautious about living a life where you don't have to have faith in God. Come on, some of us, God has been so good to us and God has blessed us and God has given us raises and God has given us favor, amen, and we don't have to live like we used to have to live, and therefore I don't have to have as much faith. You need to be worried about that situation. I didn't say don't be thankful, amen, for that, amen, but I don't want to get to a place that I can live my own life and I don't have to worry about God. I don't have to worry about faith. I don't have to worry about God coming through. I don't have to worry about this. Electric bill comes in. I can gripe about it and say, my Lord, it needs to come down. But you know what we do? We write a check, amen, and we pay it. And we really don't do anything to the thermostat. We just complain about it. But it needs to get to the place. God, you've been good to me. I don't want to take it for granted. I want you to know that I still have faith in you. I'm thankful for the blessings that you have provided. And all of the times, God, that I was living by faith. I want you to know, God, I'm thankful, but I still believe you're more than able to do it. You're more than able to come through. You're more than able to provide. Oh God, don't let me forget the day of small things, and help me to keep the faith that I have in you. Oh, let's magnify him here today. We know that we are saved by faith. Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself, for it is the gift of God. What does that mean? Amen. That means I had faith in God. That when I heard the word of God, amen, it came forth. And the Bible teaches us in another place that we are saved by preaching, by the foolishness of preaching. Amen. And it was saved by faith. And that through faith, God does these things. Amen. But what it means is when I found that place, or when the preaching of the word of God came and it smote my heart and I realized how wrong I was, and I realized how dead I was, how guilty I was. And then all of a sudden came an offer that I couldn't refuse and said, if you'll repent of your sins, God will forgive you. And I had faith that when I came to an altar and when I repented of my sins, amen, I had faith in word. I didn't know God. I didn't know him on a quote unquote first name basis. I didn't know who I was looking for, who I was looking to. I didn't know what I was doing. I just had faith that preacher said, repent and God will forgive you. I came down by faith. I asked God to forgive me of my sins, and I had faith that God did that. We are saved by faith. The preacher said, if you'll get in that water and be baptized in the name of Jesus, that God will wash away all of those sins. I didn't have to have book, chapter, and verse for it, even though it was given unto me. I don't have to understand how it works. I had faith in God. God's word. I went down in the name of Jesus, and God, amen, washed away all of my sins. I'm saved because of faith through an act of obedience. Praise God. And so we come to this place, amen, that faith must be kept alive. Amen. Faith must be kept alive. I don't have time to get into it all, and there is some difference within it. Sometimes they use the same words and such, but Jesus said that his greatest concern was that when he come back, if he would find faith upon the earth. Faith has got to live. Amen. So many times faith is, amen, in the spiritual ICU ward. You need to resurrect your faith. You know why your faith is dead? Because you stopped feeding it. Because you stopped taking care of it. You neglect it. You neglect faith. Faith dies. Praise God. James said in chapter number 2 of his book, he said, even so faith, if it hath not works, it is dead. Now I want you to get these next two words. He said, being alone. Faith without works is dead, being alone. You don't need to let your faith try to survive all by itself. You need to add to your faith. Amen. But when you try to live by faith alone only, amen, that's extremely dangerous. Amen. Paul and James, there was probably a reason that they never met, because it would have been probably harmful to the gospel, because you have to understand they had different agendas. But in understanding that they had different agendas, you've got to understand that they were ministers to two different groups. James was a minister unto the Jews, and Paul was a minister unto the Gentiles, and that is completely different. And you you've got to be able to recognize that. And if they would have ever met and ever sat down and debated, it would have been a heated debate because both of them were pretty much hotheads. Amen. They were both very energetic and zealous of the gospel. And they would have to understand that their ministry was two different people. But the Bible teaches us throughout scriptures. You could go to Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 1. You can go to a couple of other places. But Paul warns against dead works. Amen. He warns against dead works. Amen. Praise God. And James is warring and warning against dead faith. And so what we have is all of the Jews, they had gone from all of these works and they were doing all of these things. Sacrifices, temple taxes, phylacteries, wearing their specific garb and all that. It was all works, 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 works. And then all of a sudden Christianity comes in and they're saved by faith. And you know what they did? They got rid of all the works. Rightfully so. They didn't have to go back and do sacrifices, animal sacrifices. They didn't have to go do meal offerings and all those other things at the synagogue anymore. It was about faith. Amen. And James comes in and he grabs it and he said, whoa, wait a second. You can't just have faith alone. If you've got faith alone, it is going to die. You've got to put some works with that. If you go to James 2:15 and 16, you will see how that James was talking. And James said, when you see a brother that is in need, you need to do whatever you can to help him out. If you see somebody that needs a little bit of help, then you need to let your faith, amen, come to the rescue and help them out. He said, faith without works is dead. And so he said, don't tell me all this nonsense that it's just faith, just a little bit of faith, and that's all that you got to have. Amen. James said, if you've got faith, you're going to have some actions that are going to go with that. Don't sit there on a pew and cross your arms and say, I have all faith. Amen. James said, show me your faith. Amen. Without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. What James was saying is, yes, I have faith in this new gospel. Yes, I have faith in this way called Christian, but I'm not giving up the works. I'm going to let the Christian faith be an act of work, and I'm going to do things so that people understand and know who and what I am. Praise God. Amen. On the other side, there's the Gentiles, and that's all they had seen the Jews do was works and works, and they had never done it. And so all of a sudden, they wanted to do works and works and works. And Paul is warning. He said, but you got dead faith. You got dead faith. Amen. Praise God. And so, amen. Paul's warning against dead works. James is warning against, got them backwards. Paul's warning against dead works. And James is warning against dead faith. James deplores the kind of faith that merely gives intellectual assent to various doctrines of the Bible, but at the same time ignores the needs of those that are around them. It just simply is this: a profession of salvation but lacks zeal. A profession of salvation but lacks energy. Profession of salvation but lacks diligence. Anything that has to do with doing something, just simply want to sit around and soak it up. James said that's not the way Christianity is. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity has got works. You got faith, you're going to have works. Amen. Praise God. And he said, faith will die without works, being alone. You need to add some things to it. And so there is more than just a substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Thayer's Greek dictionary defines that Greek word, faith. It says it is the conviction of the truth of anything with the included idea of trust and holy fervor. It comes from the Greek word pytho. And that is to convince or to persuade. That's the foundation of it. To convince or to persuade. Amen. Friend, that's pretty heavy. I said that's pretty heavy. Your faith ought to convince or to persuade. Oh, come on. Said your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But it ought to be able, it ought to have the power to convince or to persuade somebody else. Amen. Praise God. When you're witnessing to somebody and you're speaking of your faith, it ought to have the power to convince or to persuade. Praise God. Talking about anything else, it ought to have the power to convince or to persuade. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's more than just the things, substance of things hoped for. Amen. But it is a deep-rooted conviction that results in trusting God to the point of obedience. Note these examples from the book of Hebrews. Faith has got to be joined together with obedience and has always been the basis for receiving anything from God, being blessed by God, having a relationship with God. And we find God and come to God by obedience to His word. When the preacher preaches, amen, we hear it, resonates within our spirit, and we begin to respond and we begin to act accordingly. Praise God. You know what? I wish some of us could get the revelation of what your response to the word of God really does. You know, your response to the word of God really, it does several things. But number one, it tells hell how you really feel about things. And it tells God how you really feel about things. And if you sit there nonchalant, unmoving, and just then you're telling hell, hell saying, I don't know if they believe this or not. I'm just going to say that they don't really believe it. And you're telling God, I don't know if I believe this or not. Our response to the word of God ought to be met with amen. Amen. I said our response ought to be met with the word of God ought to be met with an amen. Amen. Hell needs to know I believe this. And God needs to know. You say, well, God knows my every thought. Amen. Well, then just do it for your pastor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so faith, through faith in God and our confidence in His word, we are able to put our trust in God. I want you to notice Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 12. It starts off and it says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What Paul was saying, amen, he said, when I was there, I saw your faith in action because you were being obedient to the word of God. But when I left, I heard that your faith was still in action because you were still being obedient. I'm telling you today that faith demands obedience. And when you really believe God's word, you will obey God's word to the nth degree. Amen. Every jot, every tittle, you'll believe it. Amen. And when you believe it, you'll obey it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm fighting a spirit here right now, but that's okay. Amen. That spirit wants to say, you don't have to be responsive to the word of God. But when the preacher begins to preach and you begin to obey, it does something in heaven. God honors faith, but God honors obedience as well. There is something that connects us in the heavenly. There is something, amen, that disconnects us from all of the garbage that's going on in the world. And the devil doesn't want you to get that revelation. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I said, faith isn't an obedience item. I got faith that this word's going to get me to heaven. I have faith that if I do what God tells me to do, I'm going to make it to heaven. I'm sorry, I don't walk around thinking to myself, oh, I just don't know if I'm going to make it. I just don't know if I'm going to make it. Amen. You know what? I know I can make it. Amen. Because the Bible tells me. The Bible set some things in stone and said, if you do these things, amen. As a matter of fact, in the scriptures that we're talking about here today, I'm not talking about eternal perseverance or to a place that you're predestined. But amen, Peter said, if you do these things, he said, you shall never fall. And we're going to get into that later on. But he put a little clause, amen, a little addendum in there. He said that these things have got to abound in your life. You can't just be, amen, well, I'll add just a little bit of this and just a little bit of that. You got to be diligent. I want all the faith that I could possibly have. I want all the virtue. I want all the knowledge. I want everything that I can have. I want these things to abound in my life. Why? I'm not interested in falling. I'm not interested in slipping. I'm not interested in messing up. I want to make heaven my home. Praise God. Amen, amen. Some have got a revelation. Amen. Oh, praise God. Amen. Somebody needs to tell me to get back to my notes. Praise God. It's getting dangerous. Amen. But you know why we're not faithful to the house of God? Because we don't believe it's necessary. That's why. You don't have faith in that. You don't have faith in Hebrews 10 and 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another even so much as the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. We don't have faith in that. Amen. You know why you don't pay your tithe? Because you don't have faith in it. You don't have faith that God will come through to you. You don't have faith that if you don't pay your tithe, you're not going to make it to heaven. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. The Bible says that thief and robbers aren't going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. I don't care if you've got 30 years experience and you haven't missed a service in all, amen, in all 30 years. If you're not giving tithe, you're not paying tithe and giving offerings, amen, those pearly gates aren't going to open up unto you. Amen. You got to decide, do I want to be saved or do I not want to be saved? Do I want to go to heaven or do I want to be lost? Amen. I'm telling you, friend, I want to go to heaven. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that would be able to get in my way. I want to make heaven in my home. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so faith has got to be kept alive. Amen. Obedience is an expression of faith and is the evidence of our faith. For when you obey the word of God, you are exhibiting your faith in the word of God through the actions as well as your profession. When you really believe that God knows what is best for you, you will fully obey his word willingly. Failure to obey is an indication of unbelief and distrust. Well, I don't really believe that. Amen. That's really what you're saying. If we believe that God's word is true, then we should not have a problem living in the obedience to the word of God. Faith is what makes it possible for us to live this Christian life, because we have faith in the power of God's Spirit to help us. We are able to live in the obedience of his word. Faith is essential to our spiritual growth. It is essential to our maturity. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to hear everything that God's got to tell me. I want to hear his voice in prayer. I want to hear his voice in preaching. I want to hear his voice in reading the word of God. Why? I've got one chance of making heaven my home. I got to protect my faith. I got to add to my faith. I got to work out my faith. I've got to keep my faith alive. And when you do these things, faith is going to produce. Faith is going to produce. That's what James said. He said, faith without works is dead. He said, show me your faith without your works. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Hebrews 11, I'm not going through the entire chapter. I'm just going to highlight it real quick, and I'm not even highlighting it all. But Hebrews 11, it's the faith chapter, and faith is shown to never. Everybody say never.
Never.
Faith is shown to never be passive. Never. Faith is never passive. But it always moves and motivates people to obey. Hebrews 11 and 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It moved him to obey. 11 and 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen or seen as yet, moved with fear to prepare an ark to the saving of his house. Faith motivated him. Faith did not let him be passive and sit by the wayside and say, well, you know, I just don't feel like building an ark today. You know, to be honest, I've got other things to do. You know, to be honest, that just doesn't really fit in my schedule. But he was moved by fear. You know why? Because the Lord said it's going to come a flood. He didn't say, well, you know what? Let's sit down and think about this. Lord, what is a flood? Really? Oh, hold on. Stop. What's rain? No, he just knew God said, and so his faith prompted him to do something. God said it's going to flood. And it's going to kill everything if you don't build an ark. Noah was already moving. What do I need to do? Yeah. Well, you're going to have to build an ark. I'm at it. I'm on it. Tell me. No, you got to build gopher wood. Oh, wait. Gopher wood's this way. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Then the whole time he's God saying this wide, this high, this tall, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Got it. Hey, cut down that tree right there. Do it. Faith prompted him. He moved by fear, not by knowledge, not by precedent. Oh, I remember back in the, you know, early years we had that really bad flood. No, he just knew God's word said it. That's what we're going to do. He moved. Faith motivated him to move. Praise God. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he realized after should receive an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. The Lord said, just go. He didn't stand there and argue with God. God said, do this. He's like, yeah, absolutely. We're going. Well, my feet hurt today. No, faith motivated him. Faith motivated him. Hebrews 11 to 24, and I'm done. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Faith. Well, you know what? I need to. Oh, Jesus, help me. Well, you know, I really need to consider some things about this. I mean, because I've got a really good offer here. You know, I've got a really good offer. Called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, I could be the next Pharaoh. There's not another one in line. I could slip right into the lineage of it all. I could be right there. I mean, God, what do you have to offer? Well, I've got a, you know, offer of you know, sacrifice and hardship and things like that. Well, you know, I think I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'll take you up in 5 years. I mean, that's what the disciples said, wasn't it? Jesus walked by each of them and he said, come follow me and I'll make you fishermen of men. Sounds great! Hold on, let me get a few things together real quick. Let me work on my retirement fund and then I'll be right on over. Elijah passing by Elisha just throws his mantle upon Elisha. Elisha takes off running and says, stop! I tell you what, let's make a deal. Let me go tell my mom and dad goodbye and all that other stuff, and then I'll be with you. Elijah said, hey, man, absolutely. I'm just going to sit right here and be passive until you get back. That's not what happened.
Elijah just said, let the dead bury the dead. If you don't want to come, I'm not stopping. Moving right on. Jesus said, come follow after me. He didn't say, okay, well, you know what? I'll sit here and I'll wait until you get everything in order and all that other stuff, and then I'll, then we'll go do the work. No, no, that's not what happened. Moses didn't take a look at Pharaoh's court and say, man, I could have thrones, I could have dominion, I could have authority, I could have a scepter, I could have royalty, I could have filet mignon all the time. I mean, that's surely going to be like manna in a wilderness, right? He didn't know that, but I'm just saying. Yeah, I don't know about that. No, the Bible said that faith motivated him. Faith motivated him. And the Bible said that when he was looked at and he said, look, you can have all of this. He said, no, thank you. No, thank you. You know how that correlates unto us today? I think you know. But you know what it ought to be is, no, thank you. My salvation is a whole lot more important than any amount that you can write on a check. My salvation is a whole lot more important, amen, than any banking account, 401k, and anything else that could possibly had. My salvation is more and more important than all of that. No, thank you. Amen. Moses, being moved by faith, said, no, I'm not going to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you understand what you just signed up for, Moses? You signed up for 40 years on the backside of the wilderness. 40 years, amen, in the wilderness, walking, amen, with the stress of all of these millions of people, water coming from a rock, faith, believing that manna was going to be poured out and be put every day and all that. Do you understand what you signed up for, Moses? Moses would be able to say, it does not matter. One day in thy courts, O God, is better to me than being in the house of the wicked and living out there and being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. One thing have I desired, David said, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Oh, the days of my life. Praise God. Let's stand here tonight. Like precious faith. Like precious faith. I just want to know, is it still precious to you? Is it still precious to you? You buy that new vehicle, and it might be a 1994 Honda Civic, but it's new to you. You take the time to vacuum it, wipe down the dash, clean the tires, because it's precious to you. But you know, after a while it gets old. You don't wash it like you used to. You don't dust it like you used to. You don't take care of it like you used to. You used to have your eyes glued upon that little sticker in that top left-hand corner of that windshield. I got 200 more miles before an oil change. I got to go get my oil changed. Now you're like, my Lord, 5,000 miles over? I guess I need to go get an oil change. You understand what I'm saying? I want you to picture the new convert. Is born again into this like precious faith. They're just bubbly and energetic, bouncing all over the place. And the sad thing about it is some of us think to ourselves and maybe tell one another, oh, give them time, they'll calm down. What a shame. What we're saying is the newness is wore off. Isn't that what the Lord had a problem with? with the church in Ephesus. And the newness has wore off. Newness has wore off. You don't love it like you used to love it. You don't treat it like you used to treat it. You don't take care of it like you used to take care of it. Used to be, you wouldn't miss any time in prayer. Now my people have forgotten me days without number. You'd have to write. Oh, my Lord, it's Wednesday night. Got to go to church. Well, that snuck up on me quick. But you know that new convert, he's Monday. He's looking forward to Wednesday. Tuesday, he can't wait for Wednesday. Wednesday, he's at church. Say, well, I am too. No, we understand. You got to keep that precious faith alive. And you know how you keep it alive? Don't let it be by itself. Faith without works is dead. Being alone. Being alone. So you know what I got to do? I got to work it out. I got to put on. I got to add to. I got to keep taking care of this precious faith. Peter said that unto those that are obtained like precious faith. What he was saying is, your faith is just like mine. We have the same belief. We have the same system. We have the same God. We have the same. And it's precious. It's precious. I want to know tonight, is your faith still precious faith? Is it still precious faith? If it's not, the altars are open here tonight. It's time to come down and dust it off. And just because you come to an altar doesn't mean that it's not precious faith. It just simply means I'm just going to make sure. I'm just going to make sure that it's being taken care of. I'm going to evaluate my faith. I'm going to take care of my faith. I've had the Holy Ghost for 35 years. I need to go back down and evaluate my faith. I've had the Holy Ghost for 30 years. I've had the Holy Ghost for 20 years. I need to go back down and evaluate my faith. Is it still precious to me? Is it still precious to me? Or has it grown old? Has it grown common? Has it grown into a hassle? Or is it precious? Oh God, help me to take care of this precious faith. Precious faith. There's a lot of things that I could get aggravated about. But God, you've been good to me. I didn't deserve it. This is precious faith. Thank you, Lord.